And I mentioned that it's the most important doctrine in the Bible. And if it is the most important doctrine in the Bible, shouldn't we be thinking about it all the time? And shouldn't we be talking about it all the time? If it's the most important thing to you, whatever the most important thing to you is, wouldn't you be talking about it? I'm not trying to be a person that wants to convict people through guilt. I don't mean that. It's just my own thoughts, my own thinking about myself and God's word. When you meditate on it, and we're all brothers and sisters here in Christ in the same place, we're all in the same boat, so to say. So we looked at the second coming in the Old Testament, and we kind of did just an overview of the prophecy of the Old Testament, and then we looked at it in the New Testament. And I mean after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, the church age, and we saw that led us into the rapture. And then last week, and again this week, I'd like to look at the Gospels, when Christ walked on the face of the earth, okay? And if you would, we're in the book of John, and if you would, we'll go back to the book of John, and we'll start in chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, as in the other Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples or the apostles are having the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Supper. And he gives them some directives here. I'm looking in verse 31. John chapter 13, verse 31. It says, therefore, when he was gone out, and he's talking about Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, then God shall also glorify him in himself and straightway glorify him. And this is the purpose of the second coming, to glorify God. Jesus Christ glorifies God by what he does, and God glorifies Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing. To us, it may be salvation, but to God, it's the glory that he gets from his Son and the glory that the Son gets from the Father. So we'll read verse 33 here, the Lord speaking to the apostles here, and he says, like a father to a child, little children. Yet a while I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. He's letting them know that he's going to leave. And if you would, in chapter 14 here, in verse 3, again he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's the second coming, right? And he's telling them this. And I looked at this from a kind of different angles, and I'm not sure why I looked at the book of John, but that's where I was led, and so here I'm looking at it. And I looked, well, what's the response to this from the men that walked with Christ when he walked on the earth? And if you would, look in chapter 13, verse 37. The first audible response we get is from Peter, the Apostle Peter. And Peter says unto him, Lord, why? You ever say that? Why me, Lord? Why now, Lord? Why that? And Peter's was, why can't I follow you now? Why can't I have it now, Lord? Why can't I have it now? The next response is in chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither. And again he says, how can we know the way? I believe we call Thomas doubting Thomas, okay? The next response we get is in verse 8 of chapter 14. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us. He's looking for the signs and the wonders, okay? Show us the signs. Show us the wonders, Lord. And then in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas the apostle, Judas saith unto him, Lord, how? How are we going to do this? How that's going to happen? And so they ask the questions, why and how? And can it be? And I know these questions are relevant for today, because I ask them myself. There's no difference. I ask them myself, okay? Why, Lord? How am I going to do that, Lord? Show me, Lord. I may do it. I do it in a Bible study when I'm looking in it. Lord, show me this. Show it to me, you know. And you got to look for it. And the answer to it is here in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Jesus Christ, okay? Believe what he said. If you would, we'll go to the book of Mark. Hold your place in John because we're going to come back. We'll go to the book of Mark here in chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, I think we'll start. Talk to a man that's got a sick child, and he approaches Jesus and he asks Jesus to heal him. And Jesus said to him in verse 23, if thou canst believe, believe in me. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and if it was mine, I would too. And he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Okay? The apostles believed, but they didn't understand it all. And we're in that same situation sometimes. We have more revelation than they did, but they were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? We don't walk by sight anymore. We walk by faith according to the Word of God, all right? We have to believe what God says. So, what does God say? He says in verse 6 of chapter 14, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. He's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? And he's life. He's eternal and everlasting life. And he said, and no man, no man. Today's November the 8th, 2020, right? Estimated that there's approximately 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, right? Let's take that all the way back to 4,000 BC or 6,000 BC, okay? From today to day one. How many men have been on the face of the earth? As many as the sand of the sea, many as the stars in the sky. Not one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I think this is the most hated verse in the Bible by men that don't believe. There's many ways. Oh, there's many ways to get to heaven. Everybody's got their own way, and there's many ways. No, there's only one. And Jesus said, to answer the questions, I'm the way. How are we going to do all these things, they said? Why? Show us. And so Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See, all men are saved by Jesus Christ. All men. There's different dispensations, there's different times, covenants, but all men. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus saves everybody. Maybe different ways, but it's all through the blood. In the church age, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and nothing else. So what are these men going to do in the Lord's absence? And Jesus gives them something to do here in verse 34 of chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give you, or give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Is that a new commandment? Is that a new commandment? If we were to go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, let's go there. Hold your place and John will come back. Go to Leviticus. I think it's chapter 19, verse 18. This is the first time this is mentioned in the Bible. Verse 18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So he's talking them to love one another. This carries on through to Matthew chapter 22 when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking. And somebody asked him, what's the first commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might or mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He repeats that again in Mark 12, and then again in Luke 10. And then we can see that throughout the writings of Paul, and even into the book of 1 John and 2 John. Sometimes it says, instead of love thy neighbor, it says, love one another, or love thy brother. I'm not sure how all that works out, because I'm sure that covers all the dispensations, but it's basically the same thing. We're to love one another. And so he leaves them with that commandment. And so I ask, is it new? Well, it doesn't look like it when you read all the scripture. But it is new. It's new because it was commanded to do, but there was never a perfect man ever on the face of the earth to do it. And now we got one. He's walking on the face of the earth, and he loves his disciples as no man ever could. And he does it with the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which no man ever did. And he promises us that Spirit, that we're going to have that in our life also. A born-again believer gets it automatically, and now we can carry on and love one another. If you would, we'll go back to John, and we'll look in chapter 15, and we'll see what this is, loving one another. In verse 12, chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Same thing, new commandment. For he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, ye are my friends if you do whatever I command, whatsoever I command. So Jesus is telling them, this is how he's going to love us. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind while they were still sinners. The Bible says that if I break one of the least commandments, I broke them all. It's the same. So that puts me in the place of a murderer. Thou shalt not kill. That puts me in the place of a thief. That puts me in the place of an adulterer. I bear false witness. I'm a liar. I'm a covetous man. And Christ is going to die for me. I mean, it's something for one would die for a righteous man, right? But somebody's going to die for a sinner like me. And Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you my love, okay? And then I want you to love one another as I have loved you. It's all about that. It's all about that. That's the commands. Jesus said, these are the first two commandments. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, because all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, we're not to love our neighbor before God, okay? If we follow this through, if we go back to John chapter 14, verse 15, We have Jesus as our example. In verse 15 of John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then over again in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So, and commandments is with an S, and words is with an S. It's more than just loving thy neighbor as thyself. It's a lot more. But God points that out, that that's the primary main point, besides loving God, is loving your neighbor. All the other things that we do enhance those two things. So if we go to Deuteronomy, hold your place here, we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and we'll look at this a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 6, go to verse, start in verse 4. He's talking to Israel. And he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And this is the first mention here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And in Matthew 22, the Lord Jesus says, mind, heart, might or mind. And just think about it. Can you see your heart? Can you see your soul? Can you see your mind? It's the inward man. It's the inward man. He's talking about a spiritual thing here. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, if you love me, you'll keep my words, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And here's the thing. Here's how it starts. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, from morning to night. We had, I just thought about this after I read this, but we had Deborah's niece and nephew over, I think it was Thursday, and they come to Kids Club here, and so we all sit down at the table before we come here and eat a meal, and usually one of us will pray, and they're good at praying, and one's 6 or 7, the other one's maybe 10, and so they let me pray this time. Sometimes they enjoy doing it, and I said something about the second coming in my prayer, and they want to know about it. And Deborah says, well, when the trump sounds, he said, the dead will rise first, and then we'll go with Christ. And the question was, it was just like natural flow, okay? Well, I thought when you died, you already went to heaven. And she says, well, you do, your spirit does, your soul does, but your body is in the ground still. And it's going to rise and meet the Lord in the air, and you're going to have a perfect body. And, well, how's God going to do that? You know what I mean? It's been in the ground a long time, you know? And my point is, everything we say, we should teach our children from the beginning. We're out in the yard playing, and he's beating on one of my good trees, okay? And I said, here, beat on that tree. I'm going to cut it down anyway. It's a dead one. And the sap was coming out of it because it was a pine tree. He said, oh, look at that. He said, that's a rubber tree. I said, no, that's just sap, okay? And I said, you know where that came from? He says, no. I said, God put it there. Everything that you can do. I mean, these little minds are learning and they're craving for answers to questions, to things. And you just say, you know, I may not know all about that, but God put it there. Okay, God put it there. The guy on the radio kind of convicted me when he said, because this says here, that you teach them, and then he says in verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be frontless between thy eyes, which was what the Jews did. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. And he said, if somebody was to come over and visit you at your house, by looking around at your house, just looking at it, would they know that you're a believer? Would you know you're a believer in Christ? I had to think about that. He said, what if they asked your children, what's your mom and dad love the most? You know, well, dad likes to go golfing and mom likes to, you know, would your children, would my children say, my parents love God with all their heart and their soul and their mind? See how important it is? This is how important God put it. This is how we're supposed to be, all right? And that's why we come to Sunday school and we come to church and we read our Bibles and we meditate on the things, and the second coming kind of leads us into that. So I believe this is a new commandment, and I believe that we're to love God by keeping his commandments and keeping his word. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. My pages stick together so much I skip four books, and then I look for a book and I missed a page because I skipped four pages. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Well, let's start in verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another. That's the same thing he was talking about there in the book of John. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We're talking about being born again. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Okay? So we're to love one another, and we know God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is God's love. He gave his Son. He gave his Son to us to show us all things, how we can get in fellowship again with God. God's love is through his Son. And herein is love. Verse 10. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's going to take care of everything. He's going to do it all for us. And it's not because we love God, but he loved us first. So my question is, how do you love God? I mean, God is love, but God is also holy first, right? And God is just, and God is righteous, and God is good, and he's pure, and he's perfect, and he's full of grace and full of mercy, and God is love. But you can't have one without the other. They're all there, all right? You can't have love without justice. You've got to do right. You've got to do right. So how do we love God? With all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. We do it through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus Christ. God sent him here, and we believe it. And that shows God that we love him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we just put it all aside. We drop it all, and he is all there is, okay? I understand life. I understand we live in the flesh. I understand that we do these things. If you would go to Romans chapter 11, and we'll look at a few things, and we'll close here. Book of Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11, we're talking about the blindness of Israel and the church getting to come in and be grafted in to the vine, the branch, the Lord. And the Apostle Paul sums up things in verse 35 for me. Or verse 36. He says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is of God. He's from God. And then it says, And through him, through Jesus Christ, God's love comes to us. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our love from our whole heart, our whole soul, and our mind goes back through Jesus Christ, and then it says, and to him. It goes back to God. It comes from God. It goes through Christ. He channels it through us, and it goes right back to him. And he gets the glory. He gets all the glory. Another verse here. Oh, okay. Now I'll close on this. There's more, but I'll close on this. In verse 33, Paul sums up what he's learned here and what God has showed him. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The only way we can know is through this book and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we're believers in Jesus Christ, of what he expects us to do and what he wants us to do. I mean, there's a lot of commands. You want to love the Lord? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husband. Children, honor your parents, right? Masters, be good to your servants. Servants, obey your masters. These are all things that we do that are the commands of God. And it shows our love. It goes back to God. It goes back to him. So when we live the life that God asked us to do through the commandments, if we're a cheerful giver, right? If we don't do anything to offend our brother, all these things God says to do, and they show our love for him. That's why we do them. If we can do them for the wrong motive, we can still do those things. We can do them for the wrong motive. But God said if you do them because you love him and he asked you to do them, that love goes back to God, and it just keeps going back and forth until the Lord comes. And I thought it was great. I just, to reveal that to me, I praise God and I thank him for it. So I'll close in prayer. Father, we do thank you. Thank you so much for your love and for your word and for the believers in Christ. And Lord, for the Holy Spirit that leads us into all of this and shows us the right way to do things, Lord. And so we just ask you to help our unbelief, Lord, and we thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.